Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Judy. Good morning. My name is Milad Nakhla, and I am campus minister. I work with students in community college outreach ministry here in Calvin. And today I would like to share with you one of my favorite story in the Bible, the Good Samaritan. And I know this story is familiar and famous for Christian and the unchristian also. If you ask anyone what does it mean of Good Samaritan, we know that Good Samaritans mean someone show love, compassion, mercy to who in need. This is why what is mean of Good Samaritan. But I would like to talk more about that, but I would like to share a story. All of you know I am from Egypt. And in Egypt we have a lot of conflicts between Christian and the Muslim, with a lot of persecution against Christian. And we don't have a lot of peace, especially when we go to the church and we see people come and attack the Christian in the church. So there is a lot of bad feeling. When most of the Christian Egyptian come and live in America here as an immigrant, we have a lot of bad feeling against the Muslim. And I will confess to you today, most of the Christian from Egypt, they still have very bad negative feeling against the Christian. Why? Because everything happening in Egypt, they come in their mind and they reflect this feeling. And because they think that when we immigrate to United States of America, we think that America is Christian country, which this is not true. I hope it's true. But we think that there is a lot of freedom for us as a Christian to worship God, to go to the church, to have a lot of rights as a Christian, which we don't have this in Egypt. When we see the Muslim here in America, we have bad feeling against them. I don't know. Maybe we don't have compassion for them. Maybe we hate them. But I'm not blame that, because I understand this coming from a lot of bad things happening in Egypt. And I was one of this, because I am Egyptian and I am Christian. And I took time to think if this righty feeling, if this like, because sometimes we give ourselves right and excuse to hate people, which is wrong. And I spent all fighting with myself and said, like, I think this is not right. Until I studied program in Washington of State, it's called like a clinical pastoral education with CBE to be a chaplain and visit people in hospital. And it was a wonderful program. I spent like 2 years until I finished my study, until I get my license as a chaplain. And my clinic works was in Harborview, which is this trauma hospital, very difficult. And I surprised because I find very good program in Harborview. They have programs called like NODA, No One Die Alone, N-O-D-A, No One Dies Alone. And there's a purpose for this program because they have a lot of people to die alone, without family, without, even if they have family, but they don't have connection with them. This program asks a lot of volunteers out of the hospital to come and spend time with the patient, the dying patient, the actively dying patient, and just to be with them, showing compassion, love, mercy, because they need someone to be with them. And the eye surprise, I got touched my heart for this program. And one of my patients, I work with them, he was Muslim, young man, and he was Muslim. He was like 34 years old. He lived here without family. I know like his family was in Egypt at this time. And I don't like God gave me compassion to take care about him during his time in hospital. And I spent 3 days with him, just be with him. He was not responded to me, but I believe he listened to me because he got heart attack, was a stroke, and he was under life support machine, but he can open his eyes. So when I visit him, I introduce myself to him. I said like, my name is Miled, I am from Egypt, I am Christian, and I'm here to support you. And I cry with him because he was a young man, no family, no friends, no relatives, and he passed away. This story changed my life, totally changed my life. It's like a transformation in how I can treat the people different in me, or the people I give right to hate them. And for now, I have a lot of compassion for Muslims. I love them. I would like to share the good news with them. And this story talking about Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan teach us a lot of things. How should we treat someone who needs our help? Someone who is different from us. Someone who might have been unkind to us. How can we treat them? How can we help them? I think Jesus teach us wonderful story today, and forgive me, I'm going to challenge you today, and I challenge myself also. One day, Jewish leader came to Jesus, and he stood up, he tried to test Jesus. I don't know why the purpose was that, but he asked Jesus, what must I do to receive the eternal life? Which is his good question. And I think he's right because he asked the right person. He asked Jesus, what must I do to receive the eternal life? But for me, as Christian, Presbyterian, I think there is wrong in question. Why? Because we cannot do anything to receive the eternal life, right? If we try to do a lot of good things just because we want to receive the eternal life in our life, we cannot do that. I'm not saying like the work is not good, like we have to put our faith in action, but the first, we have to know as a Christian, as a believers, that we cannot do anything to receive the eternal life. So what can we do? And the, before I answer this question, let me to talk something. This guy, this man, is Jewish leader. He understand the law. He understand everything about the Bible. And sometimes we stuck in that because the people who practice religion, sometimes they follow the know the law, but they not follow the law. And we as a Christian, we have a lot of Christians, they know about God, but they not know God. And this big difference, to know about God or to know God personally. And I hope today, I would like to work with you today to see what is the difference between someone practice religion, someone to come to the church. And it, to be honest, to come to the church is wonderful. That's wonderful to come together and worship God and the experience God's presence during our worship here. But a church should not help you to, a church should not help you to go in heaven. The only thing that can help you to go in heaven, to accept Christ in your life. When you come in the church, you experience God's presence here in our worship. And the God will accept your worship. This is the first key for that. The people who practice religion, and this scared me a lot. Why? Because sometimes people look to me that I am a religion person because I am a pastor, I am a minister. And this can challenge me a lot. Not you, me. But the person who practice religion always keep himself busy with a lot of activities in the church. And the, when I become more busy with the ministry, sometimes they take me to spend time with God. And this is a red flag for me. So I want to encourage you guys today, if you are busy with a lot of activities, please don't forget to spend time with God. Because this is important more than to be involved in activities. The second thing is the person who practices religion is he has or she has very little of transformation. You cannot see a lot of changes. I know like a lot of people here, I don't know like when you accept Christ in your life, but it could be 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, 20 years. I don't know about your story, but I think the faith can help us every day to see that there is a lot of changes in our life, good changes. If you cannot see that, I think it is a red flag also. Many people want to receive or found favor for people's side. This is the religion people, okay? I like people to appreciate what I'm doing. And if it's not appreciate what I'm doing, I feel upset. I'm not saying like appreciation is not good. Like appreciation is good. We have to appreciate people who serve us. But at the same time, if my mentality, if my brain just focus to receive just appreciation from people, no. You serve God. And if, I think if you serve God, you will receive a lot of appreciation from God and from people. Okay, let's go back to this question. Does God require anything for us to receive eternal life? Look to me, I will show you some verses from the Bible. And the, I want to encourage you, please go to next slide. Does God require anything for us to receive eternal life? Look at these verses. So, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 9. What the Bible said? The Bible said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's by grace. We receive Jesus by grace, not by works. Right? So when you take action to give your heart to God, you just ask God, and God loves you, and by grace, God helps you to receive the salvation. The second verses I would like to share with you. In John, I know like you, all of you know this verse, John 3:16. For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here it is. If you believe in Jesus, if you accept Jesus in your heart, you can get the eternal life. And for the new life, as I told you, in next verses show us how can be new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17, say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. If you are in Christ, you will become new creation. And I would like to, there is confirmation about your faith. You have to make sure 100% that if you die today, you will go in heaven. Some people, they're not sure yet. Some people, they said, like, you know, maybe 50%. Like, 50% I'm sure I will go in heaven. 50% I'm not sure because I'm not good enough. Maybe I talk with someone and say, like, you can say, like, 90% I will go in heaven. And 10% no. But in our faith, our Christian, like, if we accept Christ, you have to have confirmation that if you die today, you will go in heaven. And this is promise not from me. This is promise from the Bible, from Jesus. If you accept Christ, there is confirmation that you will go in heaven. I hope today you have confirmation 100%. If you don't, you have another opportunity to ask God to help you. And then the last verses, you know, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and the death. And if you know the truth today, the truth set you free today. And I hope this will get. I'm sorry because I feel like I need to talk with that before I go to sharing the beautiful story about Good Samaritan. And as I told you, it challenged me a lot every day to look to myself to see where I am now with my relationship with God. Go back, so there's three words, think about it. To accept to Christ, there's repentance, accept to Christ, obedience. Three different words. If you believe in this, if you do these words, repentance, accept Christ in your life, obedience, obey God's word, you will save. That's it. All the good works come after that. All the good things, the love, the compassion, the mercy, everything come after faith. Okay, this is very clear. This is our theology as Presbyterian and as a Christian. So, go back to the question, who is my neighbor? What do you mean, neighbor? This story tells us and challenges us also. It's compared between people who like to involve, to help people in suffering time and show compassion and mercy and love for people who need help and do not wanting, and some people not wanting to get involved with people who are suffering. Why? Because of safety issue, maybe because for money, maybe because for time, I don't have time to do that, maybe because for business, even with the church activities. So they make big compare between people who like to involve, to help, to show love, to show mercy, and people you don't know, you don't like to involve in that. And I don't have, some people say, like, I don't have time to involve with people, especially people who walk in Jericho Way. Jericho Way, it's my story, your story. I left Egypt for almost 9 years to come here in America. It was big, in, like, journey for me, right? It's hard, it's difficult. You cannot imagine how much I suffering to survive. Until now, I'm survive with culture, with language, with everything is different, people different, faces different, and the people suffering a lot. It's a big journey, and I know like you suffering some kind in your life, and I know you looking for someone to show love and the mercy and the compassion. to you. And I was lucky because I have a lot of people work in my life as a Good Samaritan. Calvin Church was a lot of people here. They helped me a lot. And I received a lot of support from you and from the church. So you are until now Good Samaritan for me. But some people, they are not Good Samaritan because our society now is changing. A lot of people, we can see a lot of like hate feeling, bad feeling against the immigrant people until now. It's a lot of accusation against the foreigner people. Some American people don't like the foreigner people, to be honest. Some people, they shut down. Like for me, sometimes I have accent. Why? Because English is not my first language. But sometimes people just shut down right away when they hear me. And sometimes this hurt me. But I can accept my identity because I believe English is not my first language. I can speak two or three languages now. I don't know how many languages you speak now, so I can accept my identity, accept that it's okay. Clara, my daughter, she speaks perfect English, and she teaches me now, even if she's 2 and a half, because she's American, okay? But when she go in Egypt, I know, like, she make fun now because I'm trying to teach her Arabic words, and she not accept that. She make a lot of joke to me. Especially, like, when I share a story, Arabic story and the English story, she's sometimes, Baba, I like English story. And I'm trying to like push her to know because she has family, she has her cousin in Egypt, she has 26 cousins in Egypt, which are big cousins, and I like her to go and make communication with her, but she feels more comfortable with English more than Arabic now. I hope she can learn both. But this, I just let you know, like this story invited us to be merciful and kind to those in need. We are invited to be people who have gentle heart for generosity, kindness, mercy, and love when we see people suffering. When we see people, they need our help. And this story tells us a lot about three different characters. This story teaches us about traveler, and I believe he's Jewish. He was Jewish. He traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the road between Jerusalem to Jericho is 17 miles. It takes a lot of time. And sometimes Jewish, they hate Samaritan people. And when they go from Jerusalem or travel from Jerusalem to Galilee, for example, they have to go through Samaritan. But Jewish people, they don't like to go through Samaritan. They change the direction and they talk different ways in Jordan Valley to go from Jerusalem to Galilee. And they spent a lot of time. Why? Because they hate the Samaritan people. Like I share a story, we as a Christian Egyptian, we still have bad feeling against Muslim until now. Which is, this is not true. So what happening? The travel, the Bible says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and the fall among robbers, and these people attack him and they leave him half dead. And before I go to that, I would like to share like some image of Christ to see like who is your neighbor? Your neighbor, American people, like nice, beautiful eyes, beautiful hair, or who is your neighbor? Or maybe kind of one of your family. So I want to show you some image of Christ, and I would like you to take time to look at it, and I would like you to know your feeling after service about that. So we're going to show some picture now. Like, I know like this is Jesus, right? Beautiful. And most of people, they know Jesus through this picture, right? Even if you are Christian or Catholic or Orthodox, we know this Egypt. I don't know like he. We never know Egypt, Jesus, and we never saw him. And I know like Jesus, his face from Middle East. It's not like West culture, because it's from Israel, right? Are you agree? Okay, so next slide, the same picture, beautiful picture about Jesus also. Okay, we agree, we're good. Second one, what do you think about that? If Jesus is black, can you accept that? Keep your feeling for a while, okay? Go to the next slide, please. What about that? If Jesus is image from Native America, how do you feel about that? Next picture, please. What about that? If Jesus comes from African background, what do you think about that? Do you feel connected with Jesus? If you saw Jesus like that? Next picture, please. Indian Jesus. They come from Indian background. What do you think about that? Can you accept the Indian people because you can see Jesus in them? Next picture, please. What about Japanese Jesus? If Jesus comes from Japanese background, how do you feel about that? Next picture, please. Or I don't know about that, but anyway, it's different face. Next one, please. Or this one. This is like Coptic Orthodox or Russian Orthodox background. Go, please. Or this way. So why I show this image of Christ to you today? Because I want to encourage you today. You can see Jesus in all people who come from different background and different culture. Jesus not only the sweet one with West culture background, but Jesus it can be black, it can be African, it can be in anyone. And this is why I'm trying to just give you time to tell me about what you think about that. Jesus, we can see Jesus. Every time when I walk in campus in school, when I see a lot of students come from different background, I see Jesus in them. Why? Because Jesus loved them. And I hope this can change you a little bit, that to accept the people who are different in you. Do you know that God loves the people who are different in you? To see like maybe this is your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor, someone come from different religion, different background, different color. And for example, like sometimes when I fill out application in immigration or government, they never mention about my identity as Egyptian. They just say like, are you American, Native American, and Latin, and the others. There is no Middle East Egyptian. So what they do, I write by myself like Middle East Egyptian. That's it. I don't know why, like something like that, but I tell you like God. God loves all the world. And God challenged us today to change our attitude, to accept people who are different than us. To give space to show your love, your compassion for people who love you or connect with you. Travel man, he died. The story tells us that the robbers leave him have died. What happened? The second characters, the religion people. The two religious people, the priest and Levite. And both of them, they serve in temple because priest serve in temple. Levite, they assist the priest, and they assist in the temple, they preparing everything. And both of them, one like the Bible said, one the same day, two other men were also going down this road. The first one was priest who served in temple, like I told you. He looked at the person, and he passed away. another person, Levi, he did see him. He saw the man in anger, the man in suffering. He looked at him and he left him. The last character, the Good Samaritan today. The next person come down the same road with Samaritan who was in journey. The Jewish and Samaritan, as I told you, they hate each other. I think the Jewish hate the Samaritan. And do with each other, not do anything together. Just like a vote to make any communication together. And I don't know why the priest or Levi didn't offer help for the Samaritan. Maybe because they believe that these people, they are unkind or maybe unclean, and if they touch them, maybe they become unclean as the law teach them that. But I don't know what the reason, but I believe there is some like bad feeling against the Samaritan. They hate them like some people, they hate people here also. Samaritan people, he try to help, he take care about this person, he take him to the hotel, I take care about him, he pay money, he bought like wine and oil, and he try to help him. And this Jewish, and the person who take care about the Jewish is the Samaritan. He try to show. I tell you something, this is kind of Middle East culture. The two things in Middle East culture, hospitality and to take care about people. Like for example, we never send our parents to live in nursing home. Why? Because we feel blessing to have them. We cannot just send our father, it's like him, our parents say like him, we are busy, we have busy schedule, and we cannot take care about them, so we put them in nursing home facility or hospice. We feel honor and respect our parents to take care about them until the last moment. So this is kind of culture for Middle East people, for Samaritan, take care about them, and also for Jewish, to take care about people. But I don't know what happened. The Samaritan people, he opened his eyes. First, he looked to the person in injury, the person who's suffering, and he take care about him. First, before we take action, we have to open our eyes for needs. If we open our eyes for need, we can find good care for them. Second, he opened his heart. He forget everything about the conflict between Jewish and Samaritan. He just like open his heart and show compassion and love and mercy for this person. Like the story I told you, after I work with the Muslim patient in Harborview, God changed all my life. And from this time, God helped me to show love, compassion, and mercy for them. Even if it's still until now, they persecute the Christian in Egypt. But I see like there is no right for me to hate them. Love is better more than hate. This good Samaritan opened his heart. He opened his hand. Means he pay money to take care about them. Sometimes people, they afraid to pay money because a lot of responsibility. But he bought wine and the oil for this person, which this is very expensive at this time. And also when he took him to the hotel, he also pay money for him, extra money. And he asked the innkeeper to receives this money, and if he is also needs more money, he will give it to him. Are we ready to give money for people if they need that? This is a big challenge for us today. But the Good Samaritan also, he opened his schedule. I know like his travel from Jerusalem to Jericho, he has trip, he has a schedule, but he opened his schedule. He try to cancel his trip and he stay one day with him in hotel, which means he give a lot of time. And you know, like a lot of people, they need time from us. I can tell you, like when I came here, I suffering a lot. I was looking for some to smile to my face, or call me and they say, Milad, how you doing? How you feel? Because this word, they are power to give encouragement for people. If you feel alone here without support from family, relatives, you need someone to be walk with you. And I want to encourage you today, try to call someone and ask about him. Maybe not ask him, why don't I see you in the church today? Because some people they bother, like they feel bothering if they ask them question. But just ask, how are you doing today? Are you okay? I just called to ask about you. That's it. This is very meaningful a lot for a lot of people. He opened his schedule. He canceled his trip. He spent 1 day with him until he feel everything is okay. And we need to do that. And I tell you something. I know like he, may God use you to be good Samaritan for a lot of people. And I believe God will place you to do that. Maybe you need to change your attitude to look not who is your neighbor and just to look people who are different in you. Maybe you need that. Maybe you need to give and show love, mercy, kind for people who are different in you. And before I see you, I leave you. What I want to close with you in this story and with some 3 points quickly. Last month, I took Clara, and we had chopping. I hate chopping, but you know, like to spend time with her, it's not good to spend all day in home, but I will take in mall just to walk with her. And we went to Macy's. And you know, like Macy's is crazy, a lot of people there. And Clara, she left me in Macy's. I lost to Clara. And I look around me and didn't find her. And it scared me a lot. I was afraid. I said, God, what can I do? Where's Clara? I didn't see her. She left me and I don't know where is it. So I talked with the lady in cashier. I said, like, I lost my daughter. What can I do now? So this lady, she was good Samaritan for me. She understood my feeling as a father. And they said, okay, I'm going to now call all people and lock all the doors. So she called the Macy's people and they asked them to lock all doors in Macy's. And then they said, we're going to search about her now. Okay, so this lady come to me and another customer come join with me, because they understand this is very dangerous and they understand my feeling and the father. So I had like 10 people with me at this time. And everyone go in Macy's, in first floor, second floor, bathroom, like everyone for 10 minutes. You cannot imagine 10 minutes is like 10 years for me. It's like my brain said, like, I cannot see Clara anymore. I lost to Clara. And the one lady, she scared me a lot. She come to me to help, but she didn't help me. Why? Because she scared me a lot. She told me, I know like there is bad people here, and people, they take kids, and there is abuse against the care, and said, like, please stop. Because I cannot receive this help from you. I'm looking for my daughter now. If you like to help, come with me, but don't scare me. I know there is bad people and good people, but she scared me a lot, and I left her. After 10 minutes, one lady, she find Clara. She check in women's shoes. And she brought to me, and she was happy and joy, and say like, Baba, I like pink shoes. But I tell you something. This is a story happening with me last month. It was a scary story, to be honest. But I was appreciated for people who work as a good Samaritan for me. And there's a lot of people in our life, they can take this responsibility to be good Samaritan for you. And God invited us today to be Good Samaritan. It's not about Jesus, because Jesus is the Good Samaritan. It's about us. And I will leave you for these three points quickly. I want to just think about how should we treat, go please, Stephen, someone who needs our help. Second, someone who is different for us. And the last one, someone who might have been unkind to us. How should we treat them? Today, I would like you to give yourself time between you and God and ask God to change your heart and ask God to give you compassion and love for people who need help. And I'm going to invite Neil to lead us in communion now.